Hey, this is Leo Cologne.
And this is Rebecca Cologne.
This is a Parents Initiative podcast, and we want to thank you for joining us.
We hope that this could be used as a tool that will create an awareness in you as parents to take the initiative in becoming and being the parents that God has called you to be.
For us, it's not about being the perfect parent, but it's about each day making progress, each day moving forward and becoming a better version of yourself.
So you can give others the best version of you as a spouse, parent, family member, and friend.
Welcome to the 38th episode of the Parents Initiative podcast. This is your host, Leo Cologne, and I have our co-host, Rebecca, with us.
Hey.
Now, today we have a special guest, and I'm excited to introduce you guys here in a few moments. But before we do that, we want to congratulate you for taking the time to listen to this podcast.
Yes.
You could be doing something else, but you chose to listen to this. And it says that, you know, parenting is important to you, and you want to do what you can to move forward.
Yeah.
So we're so thankful that you're doing this, but also congratulations to you. Now, joining us for this episode, we have Eric and Raquel Huntsberger. We would like to welcome them to our podcast. And if you guys could let our audience know a little bit more about what you guys do and who you are.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be on this call with you guys. My name is Raquel, and my husband Eric and I, we just celebrated 25 years on our wedding anniversary last October. So we are happily married. Information that people don't usually know about us. We met in high school. And so from there, we went on to Bible college together and then got married at a young age of 21. I'm super impressed with this guy because he has, the guy next to me, and I'll tell you why, because he has always had a desire to grow. Even at a young age, he has wanted to learn. He's read books. He's been around people that mentored him. And that's what stands out to me about Eric.
And one of the fortunate things about our life choices is that, you know, I made a choice to partner up and marry somebody in life that was definitely better than me. And actually had a great family and, you know, was raised really well. And so, in a great home, really. And so that's been great. That's been a big benefit of mine, big time. And so, I can't imagine doing it any other way. Wouldn't want to do it any way. But for us, number one, we're really about our family. We've spoken at many marriage conferences around the country. And then also on top of that, we coach people in their health. And so we really work with people one-on-one, you know, and have done unbelievable to do those things. It's what we love doing.
That's what we love doing. We have two daughters, age 18 and age 13. So I have a child that's about to graduate high school and one that's about to enter high school. So we're on a roller coaster. We love our girls. They are just they're just our pride and joy. And we know how important it is to learn about parenting. We know how important it is to get around people that says, how do I improve my family? How do I take them up? And so I love this podcast. Thank you, Leon and Rebecca, for inviting us.
Yeah, we're honored to have you. And do you have anything to say?
No, I'm just excited to have Eric and Raquel here because they have been mentors from afar for over 20 years of my life, and now getting to really work closer with them over the last 4.5 years has been a true blessing and honor. So, you know, we have learned so much from you in so many areas, whether it's ministry, it's your marriage, it's business, life. And so I'm excited about today.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it makes you guys feel any better, but, you know, yeah, we've been knowing about you guys for almost 20 years because of Master's Commission, and I remember you at times sharing on stage at Phoenix, and little did I know that we'd be reconnected again through what we do now in business. And, you know, one of the main reasons, you know, that I really wanted to have you guys on is because in the past, I don't know if you remember, 2 years ago, we had a conversation. And you gave us about 2 hours of your time. And it was probably one of the most intriguing conversations that I've ever had with anyone. And I say that in a very good way, because you're not just there just to be there. Like, you had a note pad. You were writing notes. You were like so attentive. You just gave us so much attention, and you really cared about us, and you asked great questions. And in the times that we've seen each other the last couple of years at different events, you've always stopped and you've asked questions and you gave me your attention and you listened. And that speaks volumes to me, because I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of conversations with people that you don't have their attention, that they're just kind of looking past you, but you guys have always been so good at that. And that means a lot. And that's why we wanted to have you on this podcast. And, you know, we talked about this just a couple of weeks ago at an event that we were at, and you made a comment about your daughter and the question that you asked her. And I was like, and when you said that to me, that was just like, I need to have you guys on. So can you just like speak on the art of asking questions, you know, with your kids, with that focus? Because I think that's something that's definitely something that as parents, we really need to be good at, and we need to be focused on and intentional in doing. And that's something that we really teach our audience to do as well.
And also asking each other questions.
From a
marriage standpoint, because I feel like, you know, if your marriage is strong and a good foundation, it's going to require asking good questions of each other. And I feel like you guys have modeled that, celebrating 25 years. You've made it this far. And have a lot more. I know you have a lot of wisdom to share today.
Well, awesome. Well, man. You know, when you talk about one of my favorite topics is, well, one of my passions is being the best not question answerer or question asker, but to be the best listener possible. And the art of asking questions starts solely with this one thing. It starts solely with this. And, you know, it's great to look at a list of questions to ask your kids and your wife, and if you're working with people in business, that's great. But the art of that comes from one thing, and it's listening really well. And so it's being fully present when you're listening to someone, and it's sitting there not wanting to tell them a thought you have that comes up in the middle of listening, but to help them feel fully understood for the first time, maybe in their life. And that's my goal. That's my passion, is to help someone feel fully understood, and not for me to understand them so I can relate with them. It's not what I'm looking to do with my kids. I'm looking for my kid to be fully understood with what they're feeling, saying, wanting, discussing, whatever the heck is happening at that moment. And how do you do that? Well, the number one thing that's involved in it is time. It's time. The number one thing that's involved in it is time. There's no way to get out of time when it comes to listening. That's why we don't want to listen, because it takes stinking time. And so if you don't put the time in, you're not going to fully understand, and then you actually won't know a question to ask. And so people ask me, oh, Eric, I want your list of questions. I want your master list of questions. And I chuckle, because I have no master list. I just simply listen, and the conversation they say, I ask a question about what they're talking about. And the whole goal is to help somebody get to where they want. And so with your own kids, let me tell you what, the easiest thing for me is in health coaching. The easiest thing for me where to listen is in health coaching. The easiest area to listen is in business and helping people develop great businesses. The easiest place for me to listen is with strangers. The easiest place for me to listen is at a conference with thousands of people. The easiest, but the hardest number one place is at home. Mm-hmm. And so that's my battlefield. That's my place, the biggest challenge. That's where I look to grow all the time, every day, period. That's where I fail and do well every day. Oh my gosh. it's like, I almost hate it. It's like, God dang it. Why can't I master this here? And here's why I can't. Here's why I'm not looking to master. I'm just looking to be good. And so why can't I? Because I'm emotionally attached. Mm. When you're emotionally attached to something, you can't listen too well. So you can't serve them the best. And so getting unemotionally attached, like, well, how do you do that? You got to ask yourself a question. Why do I want to be right in this situation so badly? Why do I want this kid of mine to take on what I want them to take on? So that my mentality, my beliefs, my faith, everything. Why am I sitting here wanting to tell them they're wrong instead of fully understand them first to find out where they're coming from? What if I let them walk away and be wrong from my point of view? What if I let them this time instead of trying to get them to be right? What if they're not ready to even hear the best thing for them right now? What if I need to wait? So these are the questions. I just asked about 5, 6, 7 questions right there, right? And it's to evaluate your own emotional attachment. Because when you lead out of emotional attachments, watch out, man. You're going to get, you say, well, it's like a river. There's so many things happening. No, you don't realize you're actually in a swamp. And it's actually, what's the swamp do? You don't want to get in a swamp because there's a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of stuff in it. And so it's a bunch of stuff in there. You want to get in a river. You don't want to get in a stale. You don't actually understand that that's actually what's happening. Is your emotional attachments are holding you into a swamp of really, really tough things. So it's hard to. So that's where I begin. That's my challenge, is right there in my family, you know, asking. It's not asking questions, but wanting to fully understand people. And the only way you can fully understand people is actually asking questions about what they're saying and not taking them at face value. Here's an example. My daughter, man, school. Dad, I can't listen in class, Dad. I just can't understand what they're saying. I can't get it. I can't do it. God, Dad, I'm failing this class. Well, why are you failing this class? Right? That's the real question. Well, they're not going to tell you. You want them to give them an answer when they don't know themselves why they're failing. They're trying to figure out why they got in there.
But your child's failing, and so you immediately become emotionally invested in what's happening.
Right.
So the timeout of going to
You get emotionally back. Want them to get in there. Okay, well, so you just get emotionally involved. Why don't you want your kid getting that?
Oh, because I'm going to look like a failure as a parent.
Well, we don't want them to fail. Well, they better not get a failing grade because it's going to affect their transcript and their college. No, it's not. No, one F ain't going to do that. It's called life. That's life. We get Fs all day long. I got an F this morning. And so, you know, it's not as big of a deal. And so if you can pull out, their grade's going to tank. They're only going to get a C in this class. Okay. Why do they have to get an A? That's the real question. Why do they need straight A's? Why do you want them to get straight A's? Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of them getting straight A's? Where's it going to take them in life to get straight A's? You know, Raquel got straight A's. I barely made it. We own a multi-million-dollar company making millions a year. Why does the A matter?
Yeah.
That's the real question. And so what if your kid, because of the way the education system, I'm not banging it, I'm just saying, the way the education system set up, what if they're not going to get an A in that system? And you driving them to it is actually going to shut them down.
Yeah.
Amen.
You wanting that A? I'm so happy you want it, Mom and Dad. I'm so, that's so admirable for us to want our kids to have straight A's. It's so admirable. It's great. And I'm so happy for you. What the heck do they want? Mm. Maybe right now, they don't even care about an A. How are you going to handle that? If you talk with them and listen and they go, I don't even care about getting an A, Dad. Okay. And you're like, well, they should care. They should have the will. They should be able to. They should have, you know, responsibility in them to care about that. Did you know kids are not fully developed to even have that caring piece in their mind yet? That their mind is actually kind of separated and not even come together yet? And it doesn't happen till after they're 21. So I'm trying to force on them something that I'm actually able to do and they're not. And so then what do? I just let them have an excuse. What? Well, they're just not doing their homework. They're not, I know they're not doing it. I see them, they're screwing around. They're, okay, well, I wonder why they're not doing it. Maybe they just don't have attention span yet. Maybe nobody's helping them. Maybe actually what's happening is not in the classroom. Maybe what's happening is actually the social system that's going on around them is eating their lunch, literally. Yes. And the friends and the people and all that around them, they are not being able to navigate any of it. And it's taking up so much mental and physical energy that the classroom sitting there is almost an escape for them from what they experience every 20 minutes between classes. And with all their friends on social media and with all, and so maybe they need a break from that. And you go, what do you mean? Well, see, I'm asking you a bunch of questions. I'm talking about a bunch of things that are challenging everything you believe and think. Why am I doing it? That's where your emotions are attached. So unless you begin to challenge your own ideals and actual reality, here's the big word, assumptions. The big word is assumptions that you've made about your children, your wife, your kids, your family, and get into realizing you're living a life of assumptions and not a life of knowing the reality. You know, I was listening to this guy the other day. Amazing educator. Totally different, but amazing educator. And he said this one term, changed my life, changed our life, changed how we parent. I want to share it with you. He said, you know what happens in school? You take a class, you've got to learn it, and then you've got to go take a test or a quiz, right? And those, a couple of those items are all on your own, right? You got to take that test on your own, huh?
You got to study on your own.
You got to study on your own, right? I mean, you got to pass that test, right?
You got to learn that info, yeah.
Did you realize in the workplace, it runs off of collaboration?
Mm.
School is not collaboration. They don't get to collaborate with anyone else that's done it before. They simply got to take the test and measure up.
If you collaborate, it's called
cheating. If you collaborate, it's called dishonest. Well, let me tell you what, I'm living dishonest and cheating all day long here in the world, if that's what it's really called. And so when you think about collaborating, then what we made a choice to do as parents, it's not cheat, not lie. We are going to collaborate and get in there with our kids and collaborate with them to win. Because they do not have the mental capacity that's able to make the choices and do what they should. They need to get the wherewithal where they can make those choices, do those things. I mean, how well did that work for you? Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. That's old mentality. We're still parenting like that. You know, in the last 20 years, we've found out more than we've ever known in life about the mind. More than ever, it's grown. We found out exponentially in the last 20 years how it worked. I'm 47. We didn't know crap when I was growing up about the mind. And here we are now. And so I'm taking that and applying it to my kids now, because we didn't know it back then. And if we would have, my life would have been different.
Absolutely. Well, when you know better, you do better.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and like, so I want to kind of reel it in a little bit, because like, my mind's blown by what you're saying. So
he's taking so many notes. I don't even know if he has the question.
Well, some people may like be like, you know, what did you just say? Because it was like they're kind of taken back. But just kind of let me highlight some things. So what you're saying is that, you know, we need to remove ourselves from the situation, how we feel about it. Obviously, make it more about our kids, understanding that there may be some hidden issues within them that we're not even aware of that is causing them to withdraw from school, life, family, whatever it may be, and just trying to make them aware of that, I guess, or maybe awaken that in them and collaborating together and working together. So, you know, my question would be, I have a couple questions and, you know, whatever it is, but like, how do you find yourself, and this may be a simple answer, but how do you find yourself, Eric and Raquel, removing yourself? Like, what are some things that you do to kind of bring some awareness to yourself? Like, I need to remove myself from this situation. Tips. Practical tips.
Yeah. One thing is, you know, as soon as you hear something that is said, sudden information comes at you. You know, it might be on our phones now. We're alerted when grades come in. And we go, wow, there's an F. Oh my goodness, what's happening? We're failing, or missing an assignment, or, you know, we're bombarded without being ready. What you do is, you, number one, you can drink a glass of water. Wow, that makes a huge difference. Drink a glass of water. And I drink water just a little bit slower than Eric does, but regardless, you're taking some deep breaths, you're drinking water, you're thinking, what am I gonna do? And that's when you become aware of your emotions, aware of that's a great sign. Oh my gosh, adrenaline starts pumping, or, you know, your kid talks back to you and your adrenaline starts pumping immediately, right? You're like, oh no, you didn't say that to me. Take a glass, go get a glass of water, drink a glass of water. Think about it as you're drinking your glass of water. Okay, what's happening? Why am I emotionally charged right now? And then you're able to give yourself, and that might be 10, 15 seconds, give yourself some moments to kind of anchor yourself, so you're not like a ship on the seas just being tossed back and forth by the storm. So I hope that helps. And then you're able to kind of say, where do I want to start here? What's the first question I want to ask?
Right. And
to learn. Yeah.
That is so, so pivotal. I love that you shared that, because most people think it has to be some complicated thing that we do, you know, but it can be as simple as just moving yourself in the situation, drinking a glass of water and asking yourself, you know, one, why am I feeling like this? Why am I so like overwhelmed with emotion? And is this really, am I making it about me?
That's yes, it. That's right.
That's
and
it.
That's exactly it. And I want to ask every parent on here, every person listening, this one question is, can you accept, are you able, if you think about this, are you able to accept someone the way they are without wanting to try to change them? Mm. Are you able to accept your kids the way they are without wanting to try to change them? Are you able to accept your spouse the way they are without wanting to try to change it? You go, well, I do. Oh, okay. Because real love has nothing to do with the word change. Love has everything to do with taking a person exactly how they are, and not looking to change them.
That's good.
God doesn't look to change me. He loves me just the way I am. So why am I so bad trying to change someone? Why am I so bad trying to change the way my kids are? When in reality, they just want us to love them, just who they are, where they're at, the mental state they're able to be developed to right now, and love them. Because love changes everything. And so if we try to change them, this is what it may feel like. We try to change it. They may feel like we don't love them. And so the biggest key in having a space that's a collaboration, a space that is knowing, I'm asking myself, am I trying to love my daughter today? Or am I trying to change her? Oh man, that's a big one. Am I trying to change her into something better? Am I trying to change her into growing to this other thing? Am I trying to change her so she thinks differently? Am I trying to change her so she can do the task in front of her better? If she would just take responsibility, I'm gonna help her take responsibility more. I'm telling you right now, there's only a certain level of responsibility they can handle right now. And I mean, I tried to give my daughter a task one time, take out the trash, because I wanted her to take responsibility. Wanted to give her some chores. Okay. Gave her that. You know, she could never take out the trash. She couldn't get it done.
Without a little reminding?
Without reminding. And in fact, the trash, right. I'm like, yeah. You just take the trash out every Wednesday. Why don't you take it out Wednesday morning? Oh man, Dad, I just forgot. Okay, well, you're not making a priority. Dad, okay, yeah, Dad, I know I'm not. Okay. Oh. I just beat up on her, telling her she ain't making a priority. What is she hearing from me saying that? I just told her again. I'm just telling the heck out of her. Instead of doing this. Wow, the trash is still sitting here, sweetheart. Is it Wednesday when you do that? Oh, yes, it is. Just a realization. You can see it in the fear in her eyes. And the, yeah, oh, crap, I'm bust. I wonder why that didn't happen. And I'm curious. I wonder why that didn't take place. Oh, Dad, I don't know why either I didn't do that. Oh, really? You don't know why either? Yeah. Huh. All right. Well, let's do it right now. Okay. Let's think about Wednesday again. I wonder how you could do that. I wonder how you could remember. I wonder how it could take place. I wonder what it would look like to do it every Wednesday. Yeah, Dad, I wonder what that would look like. I've got to figure that out. You see the difference? So I was curious. I was open-minded. I was listening. I actually wasn't trying to change her I was giving her space to grow.
That's good.
Now, by the third time, you know what I realized? She ain't ready to do this. Well, she could make, I'm telling you, her mind ain't developed enough to take this on. Mine is. I'm wanting her to live at my level of decision-making as a parent and morals and guidance and all that. They ain't there yet. There's a reason we don't have them drive to the 16. There's a reason they can't drink till 21. There's a reason they shouldn't have a weapon. There's a reason they, you know what I mean? There's a reason don't give young kids knives. There's a reason,
run with scissors.
Yeah, don't run with scissors. All I mean, there's things. A reason, you know? That's why they have scissors and ain't sharp. There's a reason they can't make those decisions. And so who are we to think? All the other ones don't lie like that too.
So you're like saying you got to awaken them to take ownership. Is that what you're kind of?
Yeah. Can they even take ownership right now?
Right.
I'm telling you, they can't. Yeah. They don't even know the rules of ownership. They may not be able to. Okay, it's not time for them to take ownership yet. It's time for them to. Let's find out what's most important to them and then tie something to what's most important to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, being able to play a video game is most important to them. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I don't know either. I really don't care. That's what's most important to them right now. And because I listed and found out what's most important to them, then I go, well, you know what? I'm going to put the trash Let's put the trash container right over by your video game. Well, I mean, do you see how you...
That's a cue.
That's
okay.
A cue.
Yeah.
Trash cans by the video game might be a more likelihood of them doing it. Instead of over underneath the cabinet, they don't even see it. In fact, right now, they don't even know how the trash gets in the trash can. This is us. And so, you know, it's thinking above the level of how... Thinking down to the level of how they operate and not how we do. They cannot do what we do, period. They cannot.
I love that you mentioned having cues, because I feel like if we're helping them to recognize how to create new cues in their life, or cues in their life, they can create new habits, like remembering to take out the trash, like remembering to, you know, bathe.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Using deodorant. I have a high schooler, or about to be a high schooler. You know, all these different things. I love that, helping them to be awakened to the cues.
And it's like the room cleaning thing, right? And they need to take responsibility to clean their room. Okay, I'm all for that. Well, don't get me wrong. My room is clean. Me and Raquel's room is clean, always clean. So we both have a value system in that. We both want that. We both desire it. And we actually know what we need to do to make that happen. And on top of that, we know where we want to live with that. We know what it does in our life. It actually has an effect on everything. And so, but see, that's pretty smart. That's pretty developed decision-making. Mm-hmm. So then you get a kid. You know, like one kid makes their room looks good. And the other kid, you're like, what blew up in here? You know, you're like, why can you not pick these clothes up off the floor? Can you get these clothes on a hanger? And so you can't tell what's clean and what isn't clean. Like, what is your system in here? And so, you know, there is no system. And so you have to realize right now, if you talk to them and you listen to them and you ask questions and you're curious about what's going on in their room, instead of just clean this room, my God, and you're curious about it, and you find out what's going on, you might actually do what I did. Go, why am I making this so important? And go, they're not even ready for this. They're doing so well in these other areas. Will this affect them in their life if they don't want to clean their room? What will affect them in their life is if they don't know how to do laundry. That's just a skill. Cleaning their room, that's just a skill too. They're going to pick it up. And so my other kid, their room looks perfect most of the time. Why? That is something they want and they value it. And so the other one doesn't. Well, how do I get them to value cleaning their room? It just takes time, man. And so I ain't going to be the father that when I walk in the room, they're afraid of me coming down. Environment, and I just don't know how they value it. They don't even care. This one kid doesn't even care about their freaking room. You know what they want? They don't even want to live in their room. You know what they value more than their little room? They don't even value it that much. They don't even feel like it's a place to hang. They don't even care. They value being out with people and being in relationships and being around people. They want to do all that more than they ever want to see their room. They barely even want to sleep. And so the one kid, so why am I forcing them over here? Why aren't I contending with them over in the areas that they love and value so much right now, which is probably their strengths? Why ain't I working over there with them? Mm-hmm. Because this other one, it can just be managed later in life. It's not that big of a deal. It actually... And so, but I know there's some parents on this line that right now they're hating me. Letting this room stay a mess. Well, here's what I will tell you with that that one kid in our life. They're doing fabulous. They're doing fabulous. And you know what? Their room's a mess. And they're living a fabulous life, making incredible decisions, has great friends, has incredible faith, and they're making the next life choice amazingly. Out of high school, and their room's a mess. So tell me, why is their room so important to you? Mm. That's the real question. See the emotional attachment there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's all about me.
I love that. I love that you recognize that, that, like you just said, it's all about you. And we've had this conversation about one of our children. That is clean to this child. This is actually order.
Right.
You know, when I go into her room, when I look at her vanity, to hear it may look like, because it's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you look closely at her vanity, there are things stacked neatly on top of one another. There's things all in a kind of a little row. There might be a lot of things there, but she has a little collection of this, and she's got a collection of this, and she's got her babies lined up asleep over here. It's an order for her. Mm-hmm. And that is her idea of clean. So who has the measurement of clean? Who do we measure that up to? You know, it's really up to the individual.
Yeah, I got a confession, y'all, because I, you know, just listening to you, I have to confess this, that my son, he's fixing to be in high school, and he wants to do marching band. And in some ways, I've been trying to talk him out of it. And the reason why is because I've been thinking about, quote unquote, the inconvenience it's going to bring to us. You know, but this could be something that could be life-changing for him, just the community, the social aspect of it. Yes, I'm going to have to drive 30 minutes across town to pick him up, but if that makes his day and helps him become a better person and learn, even learning how to relate to other people better, that's going to be worth it 4 years from now. You know, but here I am thinking about Friday nights are gone. I already have a lot going on. All these things that I'm going to have to be inconvenienced just to go see him play. And it's not that I don't love doing that. It's just I've been making it all about me, you know, and now I need to be taking this aspect of, hey, this is going to be an opportunity for him to be around good people, supposedly, most of the time, at least. And it's going to be an opportunity for him to build some memories that are going to last forever. And I just need to leave the decision up to him. You know, is that making sense?
Yes, totally.
And that's collaborating with your child for their best life, their best, what's best in their world. And so that development, that gaining confidence, getting a, you know, gaining a skill to be a, you know, instrument, you know, to have an instrument, be a part of a team. Oh my goodness, so many good things, but something very simple. And we've all been there. I don't want to drive you, you know, but when you see your child develop, is that the goal? Is that the goal for them to be able to gain confidence when they do go out into the world? They can contribute. To me, I go, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. What are we emphasizing most as parents? That's the question. What am I emphasizing most? What can I emphasize different?
One of the greatest things that in my a coach that we work with, somebody that personally coaches us, which I recommend if you're a parent and you don't have somebody personally coaching you in your life as number one in your health, number two, well, I'd say number two in your health, number one in your life, in your relationship, you know, I know you guys are incredible at that. And we've got a personal coach that coaches us in our life. Okay. And his name's Paul Blanchard. He's incredible. But one of the biggest things with that is, and he said this to me. He said this kind of sitting there, and he said, you know, why do we so badly need to be right? Mm. And that got me into asking my own kid a question. And I said to my oldest daughter, Gracie, what does it look like, Gracie, when I need to be right about something? What do I look like?
How do I show up?
How do I show up?
Mm.
And I wanted to see, I want to know how I'm showing up. And I challenge you to ask your kids. Now, if they're 8, they may not give you what you're looking for. It may be something so surface level, you may have to sit there with them a little bit and guide them, but don't guide them to what you think is how they perceive it. Just see. They might not even perceive that yet. But my oldest daughter, she told me, and I went, interesting. Go, thank you for sharing that with me, because I'm looking to grow in that area in my life this year. And I'm going to come back to you in about 8 weeks and ask you how I'm doing. And so can you imagine what that does for her? Can you imagine? Dad knows he doesn't need to be right. Dad knows that he ain't always right. Dad
knows every time, right?
And he tries to be right, and he's trying to figure out why. Dad, no. You know, well, instead of being the perfect parent, it's getting down to their real level. This is how they make decisions. They're trying to contend for all this stuff in their own life. And the challenge we have as parents, one of the biggest challenges is education. And I mean letting education raise your kid. I don't mean help them learn English, math. I'm not talking about learning simple skills.
You're not talking about curriculum?
I'm not talking about curriculum. All you need to know is how to read, write, and 1 + 2. And I mean, really, you know, you really don't need them to really make it. And so, I mean, there's calculators, people. Come on. And so how many of us know what, 26 times 26 is? I mean, really, really? We need to keep that? And so, but it's just, I'm not talking about curriculum. I'm talking about how they are developing as a person on that educational playing field. And with all the relationships around it. When I saw, I want parents on here. Is it all right if I give you permission? I want to give every parent permission to take back in the reins of, in their own hands, how your kid is being developed. Take that back into the reins. Take those reins back into your own hands, because that's what we're tasked with,
yes,
as parents, is helping them develop. Let's take that back in our own hands. Let's decide, you know what, that education playing field, they're good with their curriculum. Happy for them. But I'm taking back in the reins how my kids are going to emotionally, spiritually, and mentally develop, because that playing field isn't set up to do that. It's set up to educate, mm-hmm, not develop these people like that. It's not. And so we had some pivotal points in our children's developing. But we pulled them right out of that because they were dying. It was hitting them like that, like a fist, and they couldn't recover from it. We pulled them right out of it, put them into something else, non-traditional, and they soared. It wasn't convenient, just like you said, Leon, it wasn't convenient for me and Raquel, but they soared. We didn't homeschool them. We used a system that actually did it for us, but pulled them out of the emotional development area of the playing field there in education. It was eating their lunch. And then they changed, and guess what happened? Then they wanted to go back to that, to the brick and mortar. Mm. And this year, she went back. We were a little scared for her. Let me tell you what, we let them make that decision. Let me tell you what, but we also knew if she starts to not make it, we're going to pull her out again. But I mean, we're going to reserve the right as parents to do what's best, period, she soared, man. Her grades soared, her relationships soared, and she's going to graduate there. And so you got to ask yourself, why am I not being the dominant force in my kids' emotional, spiritual, and mental development? And why am I giving it up to others?
Mm-hmm. Mic drop.
I think
that's a great note to end on.
That's a great note to end on. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you know, it begins with us as parents. You know, and I think a lot of times I think sometimes, a lot of times, we have a tendency to kind of put the pressure on them as well. And like you said, they're not ready for that pressure, and we need to help them to kind of navigate things. And it's just taking us parents doing what we got to do. Do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, I mean, exactly why Parents Initiative exists is for us to learn to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. You know, we want to awaken people to taking the initiative, to be who God's called us to be in their lives. And so I love that. Take back that dominant force and take back those reins. So, you know, we are so excited that you guys joined us today. To all of our listeners, we encourage you to share this with someone that you know needs it. Listen to it again and again, because you know what? I'm going to, because this is something that we should strive to get better at every day. So take it. Would you rate the podcast? Share it with other people. Take the link. Send it to someone and encourage them. Hey, this is going to be a gift. This is a tool for you to use.
But before we close, I would like for you guys, you know, obviously I know you're on social media. You also mentioned earlier that you guys are available to speak for marriage conferences and other things as well. Can you let our audience know? Because I know we have leaders, we have pastors, we have people in administration that may want to reach out to you guys. So how does that work? How do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, we solely run off of connecting with people via Facebook and Instagram. So just look up Eric Huntsberger on Facebook, or Raquel Huntsberger on Facebook. There's only one Raquel Huntsberger, I think, on Facebook. But look us up, connect with us there. And, you know, somewhere else, can I give one big recommendation to all parents?
Please.
So, and actually, I'm unattached from it. I have nothing to do with it. And so it's not for my own incentive. I want to encourage you all to look untraditionally at your education. And I want to encourage you all to go to Valor Online and check that school out. And I have one of our kids in that, and it's incredible. It's a great Christian school. It's non-traditional, it's not homeschool, and it's so amazing. And so, and it's really entrepreneurish. So I want to encourage you, go for it, check it out. But yeah, we speak at marriage conferences, speak at churches, we do all that stuff. So, and we're on the edge really when we're doing it, but we actually love helping. We even love more working with leaders of a church to help them create a culture of non-assumptions.
What's that book? The Four Agreements.
Yeah, there is one book called The Four Agreements. And another book, which is unbelievable. Another book that I'm currently, that's really good, very brand new, but I will tell you, it's very, it's hardcore Christian, is Get Out of Your Head. And by Jeannie Allen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a radical one. It's radical. And it has everything to do with getting out of the nuances that you're talking to yourself about in your head.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So listen, if you'd like to have Parents Initiative presented in your church, Bible study, or an event you're hosting, be sure to contact us through our website or social media pages. Link will be found in the show notes. We'll also be sure to put links to Eric and Raquel's Facebook page as well on the show notes. You can easily click on those. And we, once again, congratulations for taking the time to listen. And I think the key thing is that moving forward, that you just don't listen to this episode and do nothing, but you take some notes, continue to move forward, really start implementing some steps. Even some small steps will be helping you to move forward, and that'd be great. And once again, congratulations for taking the time to listen. Until next week.
We thank you for joining us today, especially those of you that are faithful supporters of Parents Initiative. It's because of you we are able to put this together.
If you'd like to become a supporter, you can click on the link on the description to give now, or go to parentsinit.com and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on a donate button.
where you could give a one-time tax-deductible gift or be set up to give monthly.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You can share it with your friends. You can click the share button. Take a screenshot, share it on your social stories, and tag us at Parents Initiative. Thank you so much for joining us today.